Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you had a good weekend. This is Steve Noble. Good to be back in the studio. Was on the road Friday, drove up to, had an awesome time at the Gateway, this crisis pregnancy center here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thursday night, record-setting event for them, record-setting event for the venue as well. It's kind of a famous restaurant here in the Triangle area of North Carolina called Angus Barn. They have this beautiful outdoor venue in the back. And it was the biggest plated dinner they had done there before, 630 plates, which is crazy. And 630 people, and Governor Mike Huckabee was there. I interviewed him on the show recently, had a chance to introduce him that night. It was just a great night, and that was really cool. Then we hit the road early Friday morning, drove all the way up to Philadelphia to my sister's yearly fundraiser that she does. She's got a neat little not-for-profit called Run Free Ranch. She basically works with inner-city kids in Trenton, New Jersey, teaching them life skills and just manners and life skills and how to interact with people and just some basic skills around the house, all kinds of neat stuff like that. So they do a fundraiser once a year in an auction with the artists involved, which is really cool. So I was the MC on Thursday night here and then the MC up there on Saturday night, which was a blast. And my family was there, so I got to throw them under the bus as we were raising money for my sister's not-for-profit. So it was really cool. A great weekend. And I hope you had a great weekend as well. I had a chance last week in the middle of the week. Wish we could do it live, but Abby Johnson, as you can imagine, the person behind not only the movie Unplanned, but the book Unplanned, has had a very wild schedule for the last couple of months. And so we were having a hard time hooking up before the movie ever came out a couple weeks ago. And by the way, just passed 12 million on its way to 13 million and just going strong at about 1600 theaters right now. So praise the Lord, and all kinds of great stories going on coming out of that. So I had a chance to talk to Abby Johnson. They were actually driving. They were outside of Memphis, Tennessee, middle of last week, and had a chance to talk to her about what's going on with the movie and her experience and some other things. Just a great, great interview, great woman, and obviously doing some tremendous work for the pro-life movement these days. But I was asking her the first question right out of the gate. Was really just talking to her about her whole experience, and if anything, really, were there any surprises along the way as she's gone through the process of the movie Unplanned, and especially since it came out 2 weeks ago?
Well, I don't, you know, I didn't know anything about film or movies, or so, I mean, this whole process has been, you know, pretty interesting to experience. I've learned a lot. I think I didn't expect so many pro-choice people to go see the film. I mean, every day I'm waking up with dozens of messages on Instagram and Facebook and in my emails, people saying, you know, I walked into the film pro-choice, I'm walking out pro-life, it changed my mind, the story has changed my mind. You know, I mean, you hope that that will be the case. You know, you pray that there will be people, that you're not just like talking to pro-lifers, but sure, that hearts will be converted. And so that's been really neat to see as well. And we're already hearing of lives that have been saved, women who have gone to see the film that were considering abortion and ended up choosing life. So, I mean, there it is. That's really the goal, right? So,
yeah. And so that's awesome to just think about that. So Abby said when I talked to her that she's waking up every day, Instagram message, Facebook messages that, from people that walked in, you know, and thank God, thank you, Lord. I mean, we should all be praising the Lord, not just for the success of the film so far, but that there's pro-choice people going to see it. And many of them probably going, without telling anybody, but they're going. And that's huge. She said she's getting like 20, 30 a day. Hearing from people all over the country who are seeing Unplanned that walked in, like she said, walked in pro-choice and walked out pro-life. And I asked her as kind of a follow-up question, do you think it's the reality of what you see? You know, in the movie, you see an RU486 abortion, which is basically a forced miscarriage that Abby had at home in her apartment, which is kind of nasty and a little bit bloody and very painful and basically forces a miscarriage right there in the bathtub. And then the actual ultrasound guided abortion where you see the baby on the screen. It's recreated, but this is what she saw. And this is the reality. We had the gentleman who played the abortionist is a former abortionist. His name's Anthony Levitino. And he said, that's real. I mean, that's what happens. Oftentimes these babies, especially at about 13 weeks, which was the case in this one, squirm and try to get away from the suction equipment because they can obviously tell what's going on. So I asked her, do you think that it's the reality of what people are seeing? Do you think that's why people are converting from pro-choice to pro-life?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, abortion has been so sanitized and normalized in our culture that people really don't know what abortion is. And, you know, they're just made to believe it's just another medical procedure, just like having your wisdom teeth, taken out. But it's so much more than that, and that has been disguised from our society. Abortion continues to thrive in our country and in our world because it's done in secret. You don't see the death of the primary victim of abortion. And so it's just a very people just don't know. And I think this film is really waking them up to be able to see exactly what's happening, to see that victim of abortion. I mean, yeah, you can see like pictures of aborted babies, dead babies, bloody pictures, but it's very different to see the aftermath of abortion rather than seeing a child being killed in the womb. I mean, that stays with you for the rest of your life, that sort of imagery.
And one thing I want to say, and then we're coming up on the first break, and we'll continue the interview with Abby Johnson, who, of course, is the center of the story of Unplanned, not the book, of course, yes, the book, but also the movie, which is, and it's now this is week number 3 that it's been out there, and just completely baffling the industry and how well it's doing, just past 12 million on its way to 13, and added about 600 theaters. Came out of the first weekend, so praise the Lord. Thank you if you went to see it, especially in the first week. But this past week, if you saw it, thank you, because you're helping to keep that message alive and propelling that. And there's things going on around the country. This is helping. This is, the timing is perfect. The two directors, Chuck Konzelman and Kerry Solomon, had the rights to the movie for 6 years. And every year they tried to start, God would tell them, no, not yet. And then once he finally gave them the blue light, here they are, the green light, and here they are, the perfect timing. But I want to just challenge you. I've run into several Christian friends recently who were struggling. They didn't want to see it. I have the gift of mercy. I don't know that I want to. I'm pro-life. I care. But I just don't know that I can handle it. You have to handle this. You have to engage. Can you imagine taking that position in 1943 if you had seen Schindler's List and you lived in Nazi Germany, the Holocaust all around you? You have to see it. You have to have your eyes completely open to be truly pro-life. That's why you need to go see Unplanned. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Thank you for being here, and we hope you're being blessed by the show every single day they have a chance to tune in. And when you can't tune in, I know that for a lot of you, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time isn't necessarily the easiest time, but it just depends on your schedule, and a lot of us are working from home these days and are kind of telecommuting and all that good stuff. But you can also get the podcast pretty much anywhere where podcasts are. You can get it at Spotify, iTunes, all the different platforms. What about Stitcher? Evan, are we on Stitcher? Yeah, we're on Stitcher too, so there's all kinds of places you can get the podcast, and if you miss it a day, or if maybe you're just fairly new to the show and you missed the last, I don't know, 10 years, you could jump on there and peruse. But by the way, you can also search on the website. That's functional and now, so we got all that work in, and you can search the website. Just put in, if you want to see every show we've ever done on Islam, just put in Islam, and it's going to pull up all those shows that you can check out for yourself. Plus, we're on Facebook Live, so if you want to join us there, and you're probably scrolling already through your Facebook feed waiting for the next part of the Abby Johnson interview. Of course, she's the center of the story of Unplanned. Just go to Facebook, The Steve Noble Show. You can join us right here in the studio most days of the week. We're Facebook Live, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, so you can join us there. But I had a chance to talk to Abby Johnson, who's really quite funny and a really strong woman, and obviously she'd have to be through everything that she's gone through and everything she's experienced. But one thing I wanted to talk to her about when I interviewed her last week, and again, we had to do it outside of the regular showtime. She's crazy busy, as you can imagine, and also very pregnant with baby number 8. So I was asking her about kind of this redemptive thread through the movie, and I was encouraged by them not kind of demonizing all the workers in the Planned Parenthood clinic and people in that industry. So I asked her about that, if that was something that was important to her that, that she protected, and what her thoughts were on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in my book, I talk about how there's good and bad, there's right and wrong on both sides of this issue. And, you know, we can't pretend like, you know, the pro-life movement always has it together. Like, we always have it, you know, right. I mean, we don't. Sometimes we do things that are ineffective. Sometimes we dehumanize people. Sometimes we do the opposite of what we should be doing. We don't reach out in the right ways. I've always said, like, I'm going to write a book and call it We've Got Issues. because, you know, we don't always have it together. And then on the other side of the fence, you know, we're dehumanizing these workers that work in the clinics, the women who are having abortions. We are doing to these workers exactly what we're accusing them of doing to the unborn. It's a cycle of dehumanization. And one of the things I really wanted to help break with this film is that cycle, to show that these workers are normal people. They're not doing a normal job, but they have families. They're real people. And, you know, as Christians, as people of faith in particular, we're called to love them. And, you know, jobs are temporary, but our outreach, how we talk to them, how we love them, how we are ambassadors for Christ, that's forever.
Yeah, and that's such an important point, because the Saturday before, this was an interview I did with Abby last Wednesday, because she's been on the road, as you can imagine, promoting the film Unplanned. But the Saturday before, I was at a local abortion clinic with our friends at Love Life and a bunch of people from one of the local, just several different churches. Of course, our friends from Upper Room, Bishop Patrick Wooden, as you know, when we have a chance to do Black and White Day here on the show, my slightly older brother from another mother. They've been out there literally every Saturday for at least 4 years now. And we were out there with a group of believers with Love Life, and we show up and we start doing some praise and worship music, and immediately they turn on and blast the speaker out front, and you might have seen this video, I put it on my Facebook page, just cranking some really horrendous rap music, F this, F that. Okay, that's going all at the same time. So the spiritual reality, spiritual warfare is so real, it's so thick when you're outside of there. But there's a gal that's in charge of all of the volunteers at the abortion clinic that she actually works at a couple of abortion clinics that must be the same owner. Her name is Kelsey, and you can pray for Kelsey. She's out there. She can be really obnoxious. She can be very vulgar. And usually when I see her, my first thoughts are not Christ-like. My first thoughts are not gospel-driven. My first thoughts are not, oh, you know, Jesus died on the cross for her too. My first thoughts are something that I'm not going to share on the air. And whereas I understand where that comes from. Because what she does is horrendous. What she champions is evil and dark. And she's out there just being, you know, nasty and rude. But this is still a person that Jesus died for. Jesus knows everything about her. He knows how she ended up there. He knows what's going on in her life. And I often don't think like that. And that was one of the things that she's talking about, that oftentimes we're like, hey, these people are, forget them. You know, let them burn beyond redemption. But I've always said this, even a dead person isn't too far gone for Jesus, right? And we need to remember that. We need to always make sure, yes, engage the darkness, speak truth, but with grace and with compassion, and always remember the gospel. Speaking of somebody that's tough, I asked Robia Scott, who's been on the show several times, and she was at one of our screenings here in North Carolina, plays Cheryl, the Planned Parenthood heavy, who's really a nasty person in the movie. And I was curious if the actual clinic director, her boss, Abby's boss, was that bad.
I mean, yes, but I think one thing that didn't really come across in the film, because you have an hour and 40 minutes,
right,
was that there was a significant amount of warmth between the two of us, that we were actually very close, that she was, a supporter of me.
Sure.
And, you know, and I think that... I mean, we were both supporting the wrong things, but I mean, she was sort of a cheerleader for me. And, so there was a lot of warmth in our relationship, but yeah, I mean, when you work in the business of abortion for many years, I mean, it's very easy to sort of become calloused and numb to what you're doing.
Sure.
And I think that's what happens. I think most people, you know, there's, when you work in the abortion industry, there comes a deciding point in your career. So, like, for me, that deciding point was seeing that ultrasound-guided abortion. I could have said, okay, well, I had a choice to make. I could either justify this and pretend like it didn't matter and pretend like I didn't see it and keep going, therefore further hardening my heart, or I could leave. And I think those choices keep coming up throughout your time inside the clinic.
Yeah.
And the more you make that choice to justify what you're doing, the more hardened your heart becomes.
And that's such an important point, and it reminded me of a phrase that I say often, which is, it's amazing what you can get used to. It's just amazing what we can get used to. It's amazing where we can stay and get comfortable. And I've had two women on the show before that are here in North Carolina, and they both worked at abortion clinics for a while. One of them was at a clinic for 10 years, and she was more upset with these girls and young women coming in that would just making stupid lifestyle choices and throwing themselves out there and getting pregnant when they have other kids and kids by multiple men and all that kind of stuff. She was more upset with that than she was the reality that they were killing babies in the same building at the same time. And so it's really the spiritual darkness there is incredible, and the deception and Satan's involvement, of course, which is massive. And these are two women that both claim to be Christians. I have no reason to doubt that they weren't at the time. But they went in there thinking, like Abby Johnson did, hey, I'm helping women. I'm actually want to try to, if we educate women, if we hand out condoms, blah, 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 if we give out birth control pills, we're going to actually decrease abortion. While at the same time, babies are being murdered behind closed doors in the same building. The deception is massive. It's demonic. And it can happen. It can happen to believers as well as unbelievers. Predominantly unbelievers, as we know, but also believers, too. Very, very difficult. When we come back, more with Abby Johnson. We're going to talk to her about her ministry, and then there were none. They've helped over 500 abortion clinic workers get out. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, great to be with you today. I had a chance to talk to Abby Johnson last week. Abby Johnson, of course, the movie Unplanned is all about Abby's life, and that God just uses that story to kind of extrapolate out. And like Abby said earlier, when I had a chance to interview her, and we've been playing clips from that during the show today, we'll do a Money Monday update at the end of the show, but which, by the way, will be the last chance you have to register for the drawing. We're doing that a week from today on tax day with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And they're giving away four things, but the main thing they're giving away is it's valued at $1,600, a gold coin. And we had, we'll have a decent amount of people in the drawing, but it probably 150 at the most. So your odds are pretty good for winning a $1,600 gold coin. That's pretty awesome. So stick around in the last segment. And if you haven't been entered yet in that contest, one entry per person, then the last segment of the show today will be your last chance. And then we'll do the drawing live next week. But talking to Abby about all different kinds of things with the movie. But then we turned the corner because I really wanted to talk to her about her incredible ministry, where there's people all over the country, including some friends of mine. One of my pro-life heroes here in town, Jan Lewis, has been involved with, and then there were none. That's abortionworker.com. They've helped over 500 abortion clinic workers get out. That was started back in 2012. Really an amazing ministry. And I asked Abby about that when we spoke a couple days ago.
Yeah. So we, in mid-2012, we started this organization. I just felt like, here we have at that time been about 40 years. We've been fighting legalized abortion. We had thousands of ministries all over the country, pregnancy resource centers, ministries for women who have had abortions, ministries for men who have been involved in abortion, siblings who have lost, people to abort. I mean, it was like ministries everywhere. And I thought, oh, well, surely after doing this for 40 plus years, we have a ministry, a national ministry out there to reach out to people who have worked in abortion clinics. And I learned that there wasn't one. And so I started talking to people and asking, why that was. And the answer I kept getting was, they're just sort of too far gone. We just don't waste our time essentially on them. And, I just sort of thought, well, but what about me? Like, I wasn't too far gone,
Right.
And they would be like, their answer would be, well, you're different. And I'm like, no, I wasn't different. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm the same. I was doing the same thing. And if God can change my heart, he can change their heart.
Yeah, that's right.
And And so it was frustrating, but, you know, we got it started with honestly not a lot of support from the pro-life movement. Nobody thought it would work. And a lot of naysayers, people that are like, well, you know, they work in a clinic, they don't deserve our help, you know, they made their bed, they need to lie in it. I mean, it was that sort of mentality as well. And got it started, didn't think it would be successful, honestly. And here we are now a few years later. We've helped 500 abortion clinic workers transition out of their jobs in the clinic. We help them get into new lines of work. We give them healing resources, professional therapy. We help get them into a relationship with Christ, professional legal services if they need it. So it's really a comprehensive ministry. And we've had 7 full-time abortion doctors put down their instruments and come through our ministry. Wow. So it's been really amazing. I mean, God has been good. And one of the best things that I do in my life is watching God transform the hearts of these people who are considered too far gone for Him. And I just think, if you think anybody is too far gone for the mercy of Christ, then like, you don't serve the same God.
Yeah, and it's such a powerful point, and I don't know if you struggle with this, but I certainly from time to time think about people in the news, whatever, that I see, or you think of an abortion clinic worker or abortion advocates, anybody involved with that industry or whatever. We can play that game anywhere, and quite frankly, I think in our anger and in our depravity even, we can sit there and go, you know what? I'd rather not see them saved. You know what? Somebody like that, you're killing babies. You know, remember when Tiller was murdered, George Tiller, Tiller the killer, he did like 60,000 abortions. That's what he said, including third trimester, late term abortions. I mean, butchery, right? Shot to death, dead, shot in the head during his service when he was volunteering. I think he was an usher or something at his Episcopalian church out there in Wichita, Kansas. And then, you know, and you hear stuff like that. And part of me is like, good. I'm just being honest with you. So yeah, you know, I'm sure he's heard the gospel before. He's going to church. Call it a church, whatever. 60,000 babies, third trimester. Forget it. I don't want the gospel going to him. I don't want that guy saved. What are you kidding me? And he doesn't deserve it, right? And that's the amazing thing. Is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ strong enough for a guy that personally murdered 60,000 babies? Yeah, it is. Now, what are the odds that he would actually, before he died, repent, confess that it would be real, a real heart change, throwing himself at the mercy of the court? Slim. But that's on his side of the coin. That's not on God's side of the coin. So whether it's an abortion clinic worker or somebody you know in your family, whatever, you write them off, don't do it. God should have written us all off a long time ago. But he didn't. See, we sit there and want to measure. One sin's enough. We all have that. I asked her just about the logistics of the ministry as well, and then there were none. How do they actually do that?
Yeah, so we're pretty proactive in our approach. We send in mailers. We send in handwritten cards. We have different campaigns that we do. We send flowers into the clinics on Valentine's Day. We send Easter eggs full of candy on on Easter. You know, we have different campaigns that we utilize throughout the year. We make phone calls. We train Sidewalk Advocates through the Sidewalk Advocates for Life program on how to reach out to abortion workers effectively. So we're not just sort of sitting on the sidelines waiting for them to come to us. I mean, we are trying to actively engage them, and it's working.
Yeah, and so that's it. You got to go to them, right? You just sit there and go, well, we'll just put up our sign. You know where we are. No, you got to go to them. Just like we all need to do with the gospel, we need to go to the people in our lives that don't know the Lord. I asked her one last thing about speaking to post-abortive men and women, but particularly speaking to post-abortive women.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the pro-life movement is full of converts. It's full of people who at one time were pro-choice. It's full of women who have made the decision to have abortions. And I think, you know, it's a heavy burden to carry. I know that. I mean, I carried that myself. But I also know that God doesn't want us to live with that regret. He doesn't want us to live with that burden. And He really is the only person that can remove that from us. We're not going to be able to heal on our own. We can't heal our own heart. We can't heal our own soul. Like, true healing and forgiveness can only come through Him. And I think that, you know, our past is a tool for Satan. That's where I believe Satan lives, constantly trying to bring up who we were or what we have done. But, you know, we have something so powerful, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, he gives us this gift every day. He gives us this opportunity to live in the present with him every day and to hand it over to him, hand over whatever burdens we have. And so, you know, I always encourage women and men who are suffering from an abortion decision, get plugged into a post-abortion study in your area. Many pregnancy resource centers have those available. You know, there's no shame. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's no shame. And it's, you know, it's time to give it up. And I think a lot of times we hold on to it almost in a prideful way. Like, we don't know who we are without this burden.
Yeah, yeah. What a
great without this sin. And it's time to give it up.
Yeah, it's amazing what we can get used to, that's for sure. Abby Johnson, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Thank you for being on the road and so tirelessly working this. When are you due, by the way?
June 1st.
June 1st. Get off the road, girl. Get home and rest. Get ready for number 8. God bless you, Abby.
I'm trying.
I know you are. God bless you. All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. And that was my conversation with Abby Johnson. Of course, the movie Unplanned is all about her. That was from last week when I had a chance to spend a little time with her on the phone. And really just a powerful movie. Not a perfect movie, but, you know, only scripture is perfect. But it's powerful. And some people go, well, you know, there's not a clear presentation of the gospel. Yeah, we always look to outsource that, don't we? Why isn't there a clear presentation of the gospel? Well, why don't you do that? Take advantage of this situation where somebody is, you come out, you don't know where they stand. You see the movie with them, you find out that they saw the movie, and you ask that question. Because if you don't know where they stand, if you're not sure, maybe they go to church every once in a while, they say they're a Christian, but you're not really sure if they're born again, that they don't, you're not sure if they actually know the gospel, but they've seen this movie, then just come back around. Hey, what'd you think of that one scene when Abby really was crushed by her guilt and she was crying in the middle of the night? And she was asking that question, how can God possibly forgive me? What'd you think of that? Do you think God could actually forgive her of that? Complicit with 20,000 abortions? Do you think God would actually forgive her for that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, how would he do that? How is that possible? That opens up a really easy conversation for the gospel. So let's not always look for everybody else to do that job for us. It's a privilege, by the way. Yes, we're called to do it. We're commanded to share the gospel. But what a privilege it is that you have the good news. You've experienced it, I hope, yourself. You've been born again. What a privilege to be able to share that good news with other people. So take advantage of the situation. Let's keep seeing the movie. Let's keep supporting it. David Fisher, when we come back. Steve Noble, great to be with you. It was great to have that chance to speak to Abby Johnson last week. We just went through her interview. So if you missed that, just go to the on the Facebook page, on the Steve Noble Show Facebook page. You can rewatch it. It just was playing back the interview that I recorded last week with Abby when she was on the road. So that's the first three segments of the show today, or you can catch the podcast later. But that was great. It was just great to hear her perspective on it all. And she's just doing some great work in the pro-life movement, obviously. And the movie is such a powerful pro-life statement and really is being used by God in a lot of different ways around the country. So let's continue to support it. Just passed 12 million, which is awesome. And let's continue to do our part. And the one thing, I think my favorite thing about this, besides the fact that there's people that are changing from pro-choice to pro-life, is that a lot of people that are pro-life are coming out of there going, okay, now I really have to do something. Like 40 Days for Life has seen a total spike in the last 2 weeks of people signing up to pray because they're doing 40 Days of Life right now, which is 40 days round the clock prayer. So you can go check that out or get involved locally with the Crisis Pregnancy Center. People are going, okay, I've been saying this for 6 months. You could say you're pro-life. And that's awesome. You should be if you're a follower of Christ. That's the default position. And if it's not your default position and you claim Christ, you're wrong. You're off. Okay? You got to get that corrected first. But assuming you are, and you're pro-life, my question is, what are you doing about it? A bumper sticker ain't enough. When the blood of 60 million children is running underneath our streets and has been since 1973, a bumper sticker's not enough. You have to be involved. So I'll keep cheerleading this cause until God brings me home. This will be the final day that we have a chance to do our gold coin giveaway with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. So the drawing is going to be next week. That's kind of a doomsday for a lot of us, David, because next Monday is April 15th. It's tax day. It's going to be a great day here on the show because we're going to give away that awesome prize pack, including a gold coin that's valued at about $1,600. It happens to be my eldest sibling's birthday, April 15th, so we're going to make it a good day despite the fact that it's tax day. How are you, David Fisher? Welcome back.
Well, I'm glad to be on your program. Thank you for having me. I'm excited the season that we're in. God is on the throne. We're giving away a free gold coin, and we get to educate people on what's happening in the world of economics from a biblical standard.
Amen. So we're going to get to all of that in just a minute, and the phone call, the last chance to get registered for it. Remember, it's one registration per caller. So if you've called before and registered your name and email and phone number already, you're done. You're entered. You're good to go. But if you haven't yet, if you've missed it, you got to give us a call before the show ends today. 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, we just need your name, your email address, and your phone number. Last chance to qualify, and then we're going to do the drawing next week. But much more important than all of that, even as generous as that is the time we spend on a little bit of biblical application and admonishment with our friend David Fisher. Romans 8:38. David, let's start there, and then we'll dive into our content.
So it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, when you look at the book of Romans, and I know you're doing a series on this, there's fight in this chapter between the dichotomy of the spirit and the flesh. And, you know, what happens when we are in Christ and all the things that we get because we have been grafted into the family of God through Jesus Christ, his shed blood. But, you know, we live in we're spiritual beings that live in an earthly body, and sometimes that earthly body, Steve, kind of pulls us away from the spiritual side of things. You know, whether it be our physical body or our mind, we might let it wander. That's why the scripture says, hold every thought captive to the obedience and knowledge of Christ. But we also know that on the flip side of that, all things work together, which is actually first in this chapter, for the good that love God and who are called to his purposes.
Yeah.
So there's this kind of this dog, bad dog, you know, fight between the spirit and the flesh. And, you know, the saying is, you know, whoever we feed the most will be the one that will win the war. And so let's deny the flesh. Let's focus on our spirit. It reminds me of this, every time we hear a testimony of a person that, you know, had an afterlife experience, you know, where they passed away, they died, and they felt the love of God so immensely, and they didn't want to come back yet. God was not done with them, and the Lord sent them back to give a message to the people. And just imagine for a second the love of God. It's so undescribable that we're all going to sense that not in an earthly way, but in a spiritual way that we've never sensed before.
Yeah. So
once
powerful.
We meet him face to face. And I'm looking forward to that day, but I'm going to tarry until that happens.
Amen. That's right. We still have work to do. The Lord will call us home when he's good and ready. And I think the most disappointed person in the Bible might have been Lazarus, who had his time up there for several days. And then Jesus called him back. He's like, when your parents call you back from when you're out playing with your friends, like, what? I got to go home now? Yeah, Lazarus, come on back. So pretty amazing passage of scripture. Thanks for that. So the coin giveaway coming up next week's the drawing. And just remind everybody real quick, David, of what's in that prize pack.
They get the free gold coin worth about $1,600. They get a free book on the Federal Reserve because this year is the coin of the Fed, 1913. And they get a free book on coins and a free consultation with myself for an hour on how to see if they can benefit from diversifying into precious metals.
Awesome. And so make sure you give us a call. The lines are all full right now, so be patient and keep trying. 866-348-7884. We'll get to your call as soon as we can. 866-348-7884. 348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Recession, obviously, kind of staying in the news, David. Some people are saying it's imminent. Others are saying, not yet, maybe next year. So you've been talking about this for a while, that we would move into a recession at the end of this year or sometime in 2020. Does it still look like we're headed into that territory?
Well, the bond market says we're headed towards a recession. It clearly did say that because on March 22nd, inversion happened. Short-term inverted became higher than long-term yields, and that happened in the 10-year to the 10-year treasury to the 3-month treasury, and that was the first time since 2008. But the stock market is a little bit confused. It's sending mixed signals about a recession. We're seeing a lot of signals in a recession. Corporate insiders are selling their stock at record pace that started in September 2018. Monthly retail sales, you know, if the consumer is the number one entity that supports the economy and the consumer is backing away from buying and retail sales numbers drop, they plunged in February to 0.2%. They're normally around the 2.4% or so. But retail sales plummeted here in all in 7 out of 10 sectors. And if you look at the 9 recessions we've had, 9 out of 9, when the economy was growing, it still went towards a recession. Even when there was 2% or higher of economic growth, 6 out of the last 9 recessions happened when economic growth was 2% or higher. So it's not a matter of if we have a recession, is more like when, because it runs in a cycle. When we have a booming economy, then we have a recession, and then we have a booming economy, and then we're in recession. So a recession is coming. Who knows the depth of it, and who knows when? I still hold the theory towards the end of this year and early next year we're going to have a recession, because there's a couple things that are triggering this. Central banks are selling a lot of dollars right now and buying gold. We saw that last pre-recession. Debt was ballooning last pre-recession. A new indicator is the Atlanta Fed is now can depict GDP in real time. And in January, it was 2.7%. In March, it collapsed to 0.2%. So the economy is slowing down. So that's a big indicator right there.
So do you think this recession, the coming recession, and again, this is like seasons, it's like the waves of the ocean, they come and they go. This is not abnormal, but we can't necessarily know when or how deep it's going to be. But do you think it'll be more significant than previous recessions that we've gone through?
Well, I've been reading a lot of what the top 10 billionaires who run hedge funds who have nothing to do with gold are saying about this next recession, and the sentiment. They're all saying that, and I'm going to paraphrase what one person summarized it. He said, this next recession will make 2008 like a walk in the park. And
that kind of
startled me a little bit, obviously. But he goes on to say why, and he talks about the debt structure of the world. And that's really the key here, I think, Steve, that really when you go into a recession, debt is what becomes the issue. Because what causes the recession is really simple. Money flow stops. And when money flow stops, and what triggers that is they can't make payments on the debt. They being a bank or a corporation or a government or an entity can't make payments, and it starts the stopping process of the flow of money. When that happens on a large scale, that means we're going into a recession. Economic turmoil is getting ready to happen. Yeah. So the debt is huge this time, and I think we're going to have some big problems. At least that's what the economic indicators are showing us.
Yeah, if you look at the debt back in 2008 compared to today, it's basically doubled, and it's just continuing to skyrocket. One of the things you mentioned last week when we did a full show, we don't have a whole lot of time, maybe about a minute left, is you started talking about a bail-in. We haven't talked about that a lot in the last 2 years. So real quick, give us a 101 on bail-in and then how people can get a hold of you guys.
Well, a bail-in is where they go in to take a portion of your bank account, your retirement, 401k IRAs, and we can roll over funds into precious metals so you don't have that happening to you. We're going to talk definitely more about it because there's much new news coming out about a bail-in.
Yeah, pretty shocking information. And there's several of the white papers that David offers at Landmark Capital can give you that information. You can call Landmark at 844-879-8882. or landmarkgold.com. David Fisher, as always. We're going to take a few more calls here for people that are still trying to qualify for the coin giveaway for that prize pack next week. That's our phone number, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take a couple more calls before we're done, 866-34-TRUTH. David Fisher, looking forward to next week. It's going to be fun, buddy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Steve.
Okay, pal, we'll talk to you then. God bless you. Thanks so much. Okay, friends, this is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.